You're welcome to remain standing for the reading of the gospel as we join in hearing this morning the gospel according to Matthew in chapter 13. I'll begin at verse 1 and read through verse 9, and I'm going to jump ahead as Jesus explains the parable beginning in verse 18. Let us all put our farmer caps on this morning. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such a large crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on the rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear." Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When people hear the message about the kingdom and do not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to people who hear the word at once, receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to people who hear the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to people who hear the word and understand it. They produce a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. The gospel of Jesus Christ.
Thanks be to God.
And you may be seated. Once again, will you join me in prayer? O God of mercy, in Jesus Christ you freed us from sin and death, and by your Holy Spirit you nourish our mortal bodies with life. Plant us now in good soil, that our lives may flower in righteousness and peace. Amen. Whenever I hear this parable, my mind goes to joining my grandpa in his office. When we would go and visit, I would often find myself tagging along with him. And his office was often a Ford F-150 extended cab that would travel along the roads of Kitson County in northwest Minnesota, looking at the crops that he has planted, and also, like many farmers do, looking at everyone else's crops and comparing. And this one time out, my grandpa and I was maybe 12 or 13 years old, sitting in the shotgun seat inside of this F-150, took us out, and we were going along County Road 11. I remember it vividly. And he pulls over to the side of the road, parks on the shoulder, vehicle still running, but puts it in park, rolls down his window. My grandpa was not much for words. Whatever he said, it meant much, but he didn't have to fill the space with words. He rolled down the window and simply went, "Hmm." And outside the window, on his side of the road that he's looking at, as I look over his shoulder and out the window, is another tractor, which I recognized as his own, which I come to find out that he had rented out to someone that had just started farming. And as I looked with my non-farming eyes, I could look over at my grandpa's field on this side of the road and see how perfectly straight those rows were. And I could look out over my grandpa's shoulder, the one that he is staring at, and look at this nice winding path through the field of this person that's just starting to get into farming. My parents later said, I think your grandpa was just worried that his neighbors might think that was him. He, of course, didn't tell me that. But as we looked out this window at this nice winding, you know, very artistic path of these rows of soybeans out in this field, we turned off County Road 11 and looked at it from another angle. As he stopped his F-150 again, the window still down, put it in park, engine running, and he just simply said, it'll be okay. Puts it in drive, and we just continue on down the road. This parable of a farmer, of someone casting seed, brings that image to mind for me. As my grandpa paused on the side of the road and me along with him, able to just give a moment to sit with what's happening. And as he turned the corner and got a little bit different perspective, he was reminded that it's going to be okay. Parables, that's what we have in front of us over the next couple of weeks. And as we read through Matthew, as the lectionary provides, we have these stories as Jesus teaches us, stories that we hold alongside our life. It might not be directly about our exact situation or directly speaking to us about something, but it is speaking to us. It's just indirectly held off in a way that we can look at the things that we're going through in our lives, hold this parable, the stories, the teachings of Jesus alongside, and see the connecting points, where the dots come together, and how we learn through these stories. These stories are methods of teaching by Jesus that bend and challenge our understanding of the essential truths of faith and life, of who we are created to be, about what the kingdom of God looks like. And they're a gift in such a way that they never, ever lose their impact. Many of us have heard this parable over and over again about the sower that casts seed indiscriminately wherever the sower, this farmer, is walking. The gift of parable is that we get to continue to hold it up, and we always are learning something from this. We've never accomplished or reached the point where we have it all figured out. Thank you, Jesus, for sharing this, but I've got it now. It's not how this works. We hold it up, and we learn more. We examine our own lives. We get to check ourselves and the community around us and say, there's still work to be done. There's still soil that needs to be tended to. For as oftentimes as we hear these parables, we continue to glean and reflect, leaning into the images that spark our imaginations of the life God invites us into. And so whenever we read parables, we are also given an opportunity to pause, to hold it up in front of us, to look at ourselves and the world around us, to see where God is working, or maybe turn the corner and look at things from a different angle and be reminded of God's continued grace and presence that never leaves. Just prior to where we read today, Jesus is with a group of his disciples, and someone comes in and says, hey, Jesus, your mom's here to see you. And he looks out amongst everyone here and it says, everyone here, anyone that follows is my mother and my brother and my sisters. And he's redefining what family looks like. He's elevating the importance of a community that gathers together and follows the ways of Jesus. And it's so attractive that the crowds begin to press in, so much so that he can't back up any further before stepping into the water It's the joke I play every year when our family takes a picture at camp. Just one more step back as we're lined up along the beach. But Jesus is backed up, and he just hops into a boat, pushes himself out, and begins teaching from the water's edge, giving himself a little bit of space. We all need that, a little bit of personal space. But he leans in and begins teaching once again. And he shares those words. And there was a sower who began throwing his seed everywhere, indiscriminately throwing seed from the seemingly bottomless bag of seed. He just keeps throwing it out, just keeps reaching his hand in. It doesn't run out. He's just reaching in, and he's grabbing it by the handful and throwing it everywhere. It's like he's whistling or just new at this game, like a farmer that's doing such a creative act in a field, driving that tractor wherever. Jesus says, if the seed even falls on a path, it's even cast along the edges and by rocks and with soil that is very thin. And of course, when it's on the path, the birds come by and eat it. And when it's on this rocky soil, it can dig in a little bit. But if it starts to set in, then it doesn't have anywhere for the roots to grow. And it can't hold on, and it begins to die or get knocked over. Sower even throws it in the corners of the field where the weeds are growing. Foolish. And fortunately, he gets it right once, and he throws it into the right places where the soil is tended to, and that soil can begin to grow, or the plants can begin to grow, because it's good soil. And so I'd like us to pause here, roll down our windows for a second, stick our arm out and stare at the field. And just wonder, as we listen to this parable, does the indiscriminate casting of seed and seemingly doing so without caution or care seem wasteful? It does to me. Like at first glance, I think, just stick to the parameters of the field. Just cast it in the space where it's going to grow. But the good news of the gospel, the good news of the story of what God is doing in this unfolding kingdom that's always moving around us and reaching into our lives, is that God in the story is, of course, the generous sower and is seemingly more concerned with getting the seed out there to all the places, every corner, because of this farmer, this sower, this God truly believes in the power and the purpose and the need for the seed everywhere. That's the gift of God's endless grace, that no matter what we might perceive as being the poorest place or the best place to throw it, here is God reaching into this deep bag of seed that is bottomless and continuing to cast this good news of the kingdom everywhere God goes. And the seed, Jesus says, is the word of the kingdom of God. And word, as we read throughout Scripture, is not just simply a spoken word or a written word. It's not a note that you pass. It can be, but it's not just a note that you pass from one person to another. It's not just the Scripture that we read as being the word of God. We lean more into what it means as the word of God as we think about who Jesus is. That this word used in the Greek has so much depth and kind of like a sculpture to it as well, or an act to it. It can be that spoken word, but it's also the action and the works. As we look in the life of Jesus, the word follows the meaning of the time that carried more depth and gravity, much like Jesus being the word of God, the logos, the way, the actions, the image of who God is and is played out in our midst. And here, this word is moving out of the kingdom of God into this field as a sower casts the seed of the word of the kingdom of God, indiscriminately. And the seed, apparently, is this unfolding and active kingdom of God that moves through all corners and ridges and valleys of our lives, a way that can grow and blossom in the lives of people. We remember the words, as Jesus says, "I've come that you might have life and have it to the full." That's this abundance, this growth that is moving, of this full life that is to be lived through Jesus Christ. And the sower sends it out without care about the quantity or the readiness or the acceptability or the receptivity of the person or the community. Everyone in this parable of good news has access to the seed that is in this gospel lesson. How beautiful is that? Here is God casting this out, throwing out what the kingdom looks like everywhere, in all corners. The disciples lean in and say, well, what does this mean? And Jesus doesn't always give a response. He lets us sit with it. Let's just kind of ponder what's going on. Let us give pause. And so we give pause out here again. We roll out down the window and we look out and ponder what it looks like for this good news to be out there everywhere at all times and for everyone. That this gift is for the whole world. But just because a seed is cast everywhere doesn't mean that it takes root or is given room to flourish. And Jesus moves in further to what has taken place in this parable as he teaches. And he says that seeds, which we know in our lives, can fall along the paths. When we rented up in the Woodland neighborhood, the person that owned the house had redone the retaining wall and ended up redoing the whole front lawn. Front lawn is like 10 by 10. But in this, all being torn up, Natalie said, I saw the worker take a bag of seed and just throw a couple things out here. And just, she thought, that doesn't look like enough, or that's not going to be that great. And sure enough, what happens when we peer out the window? All these birds are doing what? Free food, smorgasbord. We're going in, here's some free seed sitting on top of the soil, and we're just going to eat this up. Or maybe similarly, on a hard path where seed has been cast, and I've done this in my own backyard, where then it rains. And then what happens? You have this beautiful amount of grass at the bottom of the hill, and a whole lot of nothing growing at the top of the hill. I have been there. The path is hard. And of course, roots are powerful and they can dig in. But if the seed doesn't have an opportunity to take root and receive it, it's going to be taken up. It's taken away. That word is lost. Or the rocky soil. You know, you get a little bit of nice soil on top, but underneath is that great Duluth, North Shore, blue granite that doesn't really let anything get above this tall. And as that grows, of course, it doesn't have an opportunity to take the root that it maybe needs to last long. And so the wind or a footstep or a hard rain, they slowly fall away. And then there's thorns. We know what those are in our lives. Sometimes we don't want to point them out or we don't quite know what we need to have or what we need to allow within our lives. And they begin to choke out the seed, making it unfruitful. But the good fruit, or the good soil, this is where we all want to be. This is where we hear the word, we understand it, we live open into where God leads. And the harvest is great. And so as we look at holding this parable up alongside our lives, I want us to pause just a third time. And look within ourselves on the soil of our own lives. That's what Jesus is speaking to. The gift of a parable. It's just to let sit open-handed with what we hear in this story. And maybe where we're at in our lives. Because I would venture to guess that all four of these have been at a moment in our lives. And we can maybe right now find ourselves predominantly in one of these places. We all want to have the good soil, of course, but there's moments of weeds and rocky and hard path. But the question comes down to, how is the soil in your life? Is it a hard path where there's just a quick rain and the seeds get washed away, or it's just open and exposed where anything good that comes your way gets eaten up by the birds? Where the kingdom of God is just sitting and hovering and saying, I'm here for you. But we don't hold on to it. We don't really let it soak into our own lives. Or we find ourselves so excited when we hear this new way, but if we're honest with ourselves, as we borrow from the words of Eugene Peterson, that discipleship is a long obedience in the same direction. We're always moving towards something, and it takes continued work in our lives, where we're continuing to tend to ourselves. And maybe we've allowed that tending to be on that top quarter inch, just above the blue granite, but we really haven't tended to anything beneath that. We're pretty good at presenting ourselves in a way that looks like everything's all right, and our life aligned with God is on par and everything's good, but it doesn't take too long to just scratch the surface and we feel that things aren't as well as we might want to portray. Reminding ourselves to tend to ourselves and our faith and our community. Maybe it's something as common as just reading scripture, looking into the daily devotional by the denomination, or like doing some work that is of mental and physical health, receiving counseling, finding those ways to kind of just reach into our places of hard, hard-packed, rocky soil, tending to ourselves where we need it most. And Jesus also speaks about the weeds. You know, the things that grow up tall and quick can consume around our lives. And then we just find a little space in that little plot of weeds. I mean, there's a little soil right here. Let's just put a couple seeds right here and see if it'll grow anything. But we know that it gets choked out pretty quick. Jesus, I mean, is pretty quick to point out wealth, or what we often kind of associate with that, or what Jesus is leaning into is just greed, or the things that we just fill up alongside our lives that we want to just fill in with stuff. And Jesus says, that's going to choke out. We just can't just carve out a little space of our lives and say, that's going to be the place where the seed is going to be planted. No, we need to tend to all of it. And so the things that are really clouding our judgment, the things that are kind of holding us back from really living into what God is calling us into, of living a life of loving God and loving neighbor, being oriented in a world that just cares for others and elevating and giving a sense of dignity to the people around us, that they might hear the story well and tending to their soil. Works of justice and peace, works that speak into and continue to flourish in people's lives. We have to get rid of some of those weeds along the way, the things that cloud in and choke out. But then there's the good soil, that long work of tending to ourselves, letting the word of God, the kingdom, continue to move through us. And as Jesus says, to understand this, it's not to understand, it's as we think about in the New Testament way, like we think about now, like, I get all of it, I understand this. No, it's a posture of being open-handed to receiving a way forward that we know is right. And so it's learning along the way of understanding that I need to live into something, always checking myself, always leaning into something that is doing right within the world. It's fun, as I stepped, I was talking to Rod quickly. We were watching the rainfall and talking about how great this little rain is for those gardens out there and the fields around, and how it just kind of slowly soaks in. And as I peeked out, I saw the garden out front of the church here. I don't know if you've seen that, but I was chatting with Vern Roberts this week. And he had said that he has been tending to that, putting good soil in, mixing it up, planting some flowers, giving it some rich earth to move within. And as I sat in my office in the comfort of my chair the other day, there's Vern outside with his tool taking weeds out along the hostas, tending to that soil there. The weeds come back, don't they? But we just pull them out, we move on, and things kind of creep in along the way. What Jesus is asking the people on the shoreline, and as he sits in his boat and is asking us today, the God that continues to just cast seed in the kingdom, just throwing it our direction, he's also asking us, how's the soil of your life? It's kind of like us asking, how's your soul? In the Covenant Church, historically, the word is, how's your walk? How are you? I believe this parable offers an invitation to the work as well, not only in our own lives and asking how we are, but into our community as well. As we look out at the world around us, as a church that is the body of Christ that moves out in the world, we get to ask, how is our world? Are we tending to it? Are we helping in places where weeds are growing in? Are we tending to the places of rocky soil in our lives, in our church's lives, in our neighbors' lives? But the invitation and the work that is ahead in ours and our neighbors' lives, it's a long road. But no matter what, the good news of the story is that God does not hold back from extending the gifts of the kingdom of God, the good news of the kingdom, everywhere and always. May we tend to that. Amen.